Hey guys, welcome to part two of the Watts family murder case. My name is Kaylee and Emily is not here with me right now. I just wanted to kind of pop in briefly just to give an intro because I had said in my last episode that I didn't realize that we were going to have to split this into two episodes. So in this episode, we're going to be talking more about what happened after Shanann was last seen. We're going to talk a bit about the 911 call that was made. We're going to talk a little bit about the interview that Chris gives with the police. We're going to talk about his confessions and everything that comes out in the discovery. So without making this episode too long, I kind of just want to jump right in and get started.
So now 4 a.m. comes along after they had had sex. These are in Chris's words, which I haven't even gotten into yet. But in Chris's words, after they had had sex around, I assume, 2 o'clock in the morning, they had gone to sleep. 4 a.m. Chris Watts gets up and he gets ready for work. He claims that at 4:15, he crawls back into bed, which I find so bizarre that he took 15 minutes to get ready and then crawls back into bed, but whatever.
Yeah.
Say he did. I don't know. Maybe I take 15 minutes to get ready and crawl back into bed.
Do you get back into bed after you get ready for the day?
No.
Me neither.
The only time I do something like that is, and this is so stretched, say I get up, I get ready, I go to work. I had one appointment that took me an hour, and Dave didn't go to work because it was raining. Mm-hmm. I'll crawl back into bed then.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
But that's, like, so extreme that, yeah.
But that wouldn't happen in their lives.
No. So Chris claims that around 4:15, he crawled back into bed, and they had an, this is the quote of this case, and emotional conversation.
I have so many of those.
Who has an emotional conversation? Who describes something as an emotional?
It's just so, I'd be like, no, we fucking fought. Like,
yes. We had an argument.
Yeah. He's a dumbass. She's a dumbass. Whatever. We fought.
Not an emotional conversation. No, so he claims they had an emotional conversation. Now, this is all based on something that had come out after this. So I was really trying to stick to what was going on, like, prior to anything said after, but
right.
I kind of had to speak on what was happening.
Right.
So at 5:27 a.m., Chris Watts is seen backing his truck into his driveway from his neighbor's video camera. His neighbor's camera next door sees his truck pull from pretty much like the side of his street, like right in front of his driveway, and then back into his driveway. Now he backs into his driveway, but he backs pretty much into the garage.
Right.
So you can't really see the bed of his truck. So yeah, and then after that, the video cam footage is he is seen leaving for work at 5:48. So like I said, he backs in at 5:27. And he leaves at 5:48. So mm-hmm. that's about 20 minutes that he's there. And you see him walking kind of back and forth to his truck multiple times. What I find a little interesting actually about that is he almost is like taking his time. Like he walks to the truck and is there for a period of time. Like he's there for a good 5 minutes before he walks back to the house.
Right.
So I find that a little interesting, but whatever. So now from 6:29 until 7 o'clock, so this is about an hour after he, or a little less, maybe 45 minutes after he leaves his house until he gets to work, he talks to his coworkers about the location of where he's going to be. And I'm going to touch a lot more on this a little bit later. I just want to get the facts out there that we have prior to the discovery file. So then at 7:18, he sends Shanann a text, and it says something along the lines of, "Hey, if you're bringing the girl somewhere, let me know. Just keep me in the loop," or something along those lines, something very brief. At 8:25 a.m., so this is about an hour and 10 minutes later, he makes a 23-second phone call to Shanann's phone. That doesn't necessarily mean anything to me, because
that means it went to voicemail.
It does mean it went to voicemail and he hung up. He did not leave a voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
It does mean that he waited all the way through for it to go to voicemail, though.
Right.
At 8:26 a.m., less than a minute later, Chris Watts searches Primrose School, which is the school that Bella and Celeste went to, and he called them and had a one-minute conversation. He told the staff that his daughters would not be attending this school anymore, no longer. At 9:05, so this is about a half hour later, Chris calls him and Shanann's realtor. I assume that this is the realtor that they found their house with, somebody that they had known, because it seemed to be a conversation that was picking up where it had last left off.
They bought the house with this realtor.
That's what I'm saying.
And then they were going to sell again with the same realtor.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he says.
Yeah. No, but they have proof.
That she was?
Mm-hmm. They have the text messages that all the three of them were in a group text message together.
Well, I thought...
Before Shanann died.
I thought the group message was that she had responded to Chris and Shanann after she was already missing.
Mm-mm.
So there was actually information that...
Yeah, and then in that group message, then... Whatever.
I must have missed it.
I don't know why Shanann... Because in all of those texts between the realtor, Shanann, and Chris, Shanann and the realtor were corresponding, and Chris was just, like, there. And then this day, that's when Chris was like, "I don't know why she's not answering these text messages," like, blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And at this period in time, or prior to this, I do believe they had a conversation about moving to a town named Brighton.
Yep.
From Frederick. That was a little bit cheaper. They didn't need such a big house. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever. So he calls the realtor, and they had a 3 minute, 40 second conversation. I think that I would assume, and a lot of people would assume, that that had something to do with listing the house, whatever. Now at 10:28, about an hour and a half later, Sandy Ruchek calls Chris Watts, or no, I'm sorry, she texts him and says, "Is Shanann okay?" And from there, Chris had called her and they had a 1 minute conversation. At 10:33, a few minutes later, Chris searches hotels in Aspen and calls one and had a 2 minute conversation. Now, I also want to kind of make this a little bit clear. Chris and Shanann had a conversation about going to Aspen, Colorado. They had talked about that following weekend. So this all happened on the 13th. The weekend that preceded that, they talked about going away to Colorado and spending some, you know, time together, just the two of them, because they hadn't done that in so long. And I think Shanann thought this was going to save her relationship.
Yeah, she was pumped for it.
She was really excited about this trip. Mm-hmm. She had reached out to multiple babysitters,
mm-hmm.
even babysitters that couldn't make it work, but she kept reaching out. At 12:18, so a couple hours, an hour and a half later, an hour and 45 minutes later, Nicole Atkinson shows up. Chris Watts gets a notification on his phone that at his Ring doorbell, Nicole has shown up to check on Shanann. From what I understand, Nicole had said to Shanann, you know, "If you're not feeling well tomorrow, I'll take you to your doctor's appointment." Shanann had a doctor's appointment this day. So she had said to her, "If you're not feeling well, I'll take you, let me know, blah, blah, blah." She had sent multiple texts saying, "Hey, how you feeling?" No response. Let me know if you want me to take you. No response. Has anything happened with you and Chris? Have you heard anything? No response. So many texts and calls and no response. So she went over there to pretty much check on Shanann, which I want to say, when I was, like, researching this, too, like, I literally was talking to Dave about it, and I was like, this girl is such a good fucking friend. Like, what a good friend to, like, go over there and check on her.
I also am like, is this girl in love with her?
No, the girl, I thought that, too, for a minute. Like, I thought, like, okay, this girl's a little bit weird. Like, why is she so obsessed with Shanann? But you know what? Besides the point, if something were to happen to me and you had a question in your mind, I would hope that you would show up at my house see if I was... You know what I'm saying?
100%.
So, like, I feel like this girl was a good fucking friend. I don't talk to my friends every hour on the hour. I don't talk to you every hour on the hour.
Every other.
But would you really be that concerned if I didn't respond to you, even in 5 hours?
In 5 hours, yes. Would you really? Be concerned, 100%.
Interesting. I'd probably text you again if it were me. Like, I'd text you multiple times, but I'd be like, okay, she must be busy. Especially, I mean, this is the thing. We're not stay-at-home moms. But Shanann had a doctor's appointment that day. And this was, I believe, because her baby had an irregular heartbeat.
Right.
So that was a big concern for Nicole, the fact that she missed. And I don't really necessarily know how she knew that she missed this doctor's appointment, other than the fact that she couldn't get a hold of her.
Right. I think another red flag is Shanann ran her business on her phone.
100%.
Therefore, for someone that's running their business on their phone, if they're not answering, there's a problem. If you ran your business on your phone and you didn't answer me in 5 hours, then I'd be like,
what the fuck? Call the fucking
police.
Sure. And on top of it, like, she had just gotten back from
her business
trip. A business trip that she was probably not answering things on her phone. Mm-hmm. So you'd think, like, she'd be on it answering her shit because of that. At 12:27, so I just had said that at 12:18, Nicole showed up to check on Shanann, and she's kind of peering through the house to see if she can see anything. I want to bring up the 911 call really quick, just so you can kind of hear what she had to say.
Paul County Communications, this is Stacey.
Hi, Stacey. My name's Nicole, and I'm calling because I'm concerned about a friend of mine. I dropped her off at her house at 2 in the morning last night because we were out of town together, and we were on the way back from the airport, and she was having issues, and she's pregnant, and I haven't been able to get a hold of her this morning, and I've gone to her house, and her car's there, and stuff like that, but she won't answer the door, she won't answer phone calls, she won't answer text messages. And I'm just really, really concerned. And she had a doctor's appointment this morning, and she didn't go to it. And I'm just, I don't know what to do. I've called him and talked to him, and he said that she went on a play date with her other two daughters. But, like, if she went on a play date, they're both in car seats. Why would she not take her car?
Perfectly understandable. Do you happen to know her address, Nicole?
I'm asking Shanann outside the house. It's 2825 Saratoga Trail in Frederick. And then I said, like, Chris, can you just come home and check to make sure she's okay? Because the shoes she wears every single day are right inside her door. And he was like, yeah, I'll be there in 3 minutes. Well, that was 45 minutes ago. And I called him and asked him again, can you please come home? And he's like, I'm 45 minutes out.
Okay. Nicole, I'll go ahead and put a call in. I just need you, if you could please repeat her address to make sure I have it entered correctly.
Okay, that's kind of like, I feel like, what you need to hear about that. At 12:27, so less than 10 minutes later, the realtor asks details about the house going up for sale to Chris. She says things like, has the basement been finished?
And this was in the group message.
This was in a group message between Shanann, Chris, and this agent. And she says things like, has the basement been finished? There were a couple other things, and I can't really remember, but she had mentioned a few things. So now, at 1:05, Chris Watts decides that he is going to go home because Nicole has reached out, and I believe that she had told him that the police had been called. She was calling the police and everything like that.
Yep.
Now, mind you, like I said, Nicole showed up at 12:18, and he's deciding to leave at 1:05. This is 50 minutes later that he has found out his wife can't be found, and he's deciding now, finally, that he's going to go home. So, at this point, he leaves. He shows up to the house. The police are already there. And I believe that prior to him getting there, they didn't go into the house. They they couldn't get in until he got there. And what's so interesting is he opens the garage. He opens the door of her car like he's looking for something. Looks in, closes the door, gets out, goes into the garage door. Now, he takes a good, would you say a whole minute before he comes to the front door?
I would say longer.
Yeah, at least a minute and a half to 2 minutes.
Yeah.
To come to the front door.
Oh, 100%.
Now, I don't know how many of you have a two-car garage and a four-bedroom, three-and-a-half-bath house. I think that's what the size of their house was.
Friggin' huge.
I don't know how many of you have that. However, if you're walking in from your garage door, I can't imagine it taking more than 2 minutes. I can't imagine it taking more than 15 seconds to get to your front door.
Not 2 minutes.
So that was a little suspicious off the bat, right? Like, the fact that he took that long to get to the front door. Like, what was he doing? What was he looking in that car for? Because he literally opened the door, looked, closed the door, and went in. So, what were you looking for? They get inside. The police get inside. They're looking around. They don't see much. The first thing that they notice is they go, they look around the house. Everything looks, like, very normal. Her suitcase is on the ottoman in the living room. It's just sitting there untouched.
Mm-hmm.
Almost as if she came in, threw it there, and whatever. Her purse is on the island in the kitchen. They go upstairs. Their sheets are stripped from the bed. There's nothing on the bed. They're on the floor. The sheets are on the floor. Strange. So they're like, what the hell is going on with this? They check the girls' bedrooms. They look pretty normal. Everything looks normal. No blood, nothing. They go back down into the kitchen and they open the garbage just to check and see. And they see that the bed was stripped. The fitted sheets and the comforter were found on the floor of the bedroom. Their standard sheet was thrown away in the garbage. Weird. They go back upstairs. They have a little loft area. And they're standing there talking to Nicole. And mind you, they've already gone through the bedroom. Chris comes out of the bedroom and finds Shanann's wedding ring on her end table. And he says, oh my god, look, I found her wedding ring. Which I'm just like, they've already looked there. What are you trying to do? So in my mind, her wedding ring was in her car or something like that.
And he placed it there.
And he barely placed it there. He had it in his pocket.
He put it there for 1 second, picked it up again.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that interesting. He goes downstairs, finds her purse. This is what's so weird. Chris Watts found her wedding ring, her purse, and her phone.
Mm-hmm.
Not anybody else but him.
Yep.
So her phone was in between the cushions of the couch in the loft, which I find strange.
Also agree.
Right? Like,
she's like, let me place this in the cushions. Like,
yeah. Like, you clearly went from your downstairs to your bed. You didn't put that there.
Yeah.
You probably would have put it on your nightstand.
That's what I would do.
So, that whole thing is super bizarre. And there's body cam footage of this whole thing.
And, so fucking weird.
And you can tell how awkward and weird he is. And, like, uncomfortable even when he first shows up, but whatever, besides the point. So this night goes by, and the following morning the police show up with the canines. And from what I understand, they showed up with the canines and the house had been cleaned.
Yeah, since they were there the previous day.
Yes.
Chris, like, deep cleaned the entire house.
Like, totally cleaned it.
Yep.
Which I find very strange, because if, like, your wife and your kids are missing, like, you would want every scent and every, like, trace they could get mm-hmm. on those kids and your wife. So, that happens. He gives a strange interview with the cops while that's happening. And I actually took a note about this. And Chris said, me or I, at least 34 times during that interview with the police. And this is the interview that he's giving. This is the first one he gives. And it's when you can hear the dogs barking, actually, in the background. And you can see how uncomfortable he is about that. But you can just see how uncomfortable he is in the first place. He's holding...
He has scratches on him.
Yeah, he does have scratches
on him.
Which
I don't think anyone realized until later, until they went back and rewatched a lot of people.
But he does, but, like, she never fought back. She had nothing under her fingernails. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like you don't need to have anything under your fingernails. Do you know, like, if I scratched you right now, would I have your skin under my fingernails? Yeah. Really, though?
You would.
Should we do it? I don't want to... ow! Bitch.
Look.
That just makes me think I need to moisturize more.
I'm just saying. That was, like, barely anything.
Yeah. How do you feel having my skin under your fingernails?
I feel great. No, but besides the point. I mean, she had nothing under her fingernails. She had nothing.
But you've seen it. Like, the
this little mark on the neck. Here. Yeah, he had a little mark on his neck. I did. I noticed that. And this is the thing. In that interview, it's so creepy. It's so uncomfortable. I wish I could play the whole thing for you. But he's literally standing there, holding his elbows. And he's, like, rocking back and forth while he's giving this interview.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, he said, I or me, 34 times.
And he was talking about, I just wish I could hear them.
Yeah, I need them home. Yeah. I need them home.
Yep.
And every time he said that, every time he said, I need them home, or he said, I need them here, or it's not the same without them. Anytime he said anything like that, he repeated it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's saying, like, who are you convincing, yourself or
us all?
Everybody else. So, that interview was so weird. Can we bring that interview up just to, like, play, like, a little bitty piece? Quickly, I want to play the interview with Chris and the news station for you.
What's going on right now around your house?
Right now, it's got K-9 units, the sheriff's department. Everybody's, like, they're doing their best right now to figure out, like, if they can get a scent and see where they went. If they went on foot, they went in a car, or they went somewhere. And right now, it's just, like, they've been on point. They're going through the house trying to get a scent, and hopefully they can pick something up to where it's going to lead to something.
What happened?
She came home from the airport 2 a.m.
Okay, I want to pause this for a second, because when you hear the officer say, like, what happened, he literally trembles.
Yeah.
Do you notice that?
Yep.
He's like, why did you ask me that? Like, you can see it in his face. And then the officer, or not the officer, the newscaster asks him again, like, the question in a different way, but I found that very interesting, the way that he was about that.
Yeah, and I left around 5:15, she was still here, and, like, about 12:10 in that afternoon, her friend Nicole showed up at the door. Like, I had texted Shanann a few times that day.
Also, I don't mean to keep pausing this, but he makes it a point to say when he left the house.
5:10:01.
Like, I exactly. find that interesting that he, like, makes it a point to say when he left.
day, called her, say, you know, but she never got back to me, but she wasn't getting back to any of her people as well. And that's what really concerned a lot of people, is like, if she's not getting back to her, like, if she doesn't get back to me, that's fine. Like, she gets busy during the day, but she didn't get back to her people, which was very concerning. And Nicole called me when she was at the door, and that's when I came home. And then walked in the house, and nothing has vanished. Nothing was here. I mean, she wasn't here. The kids weren't here. Nope, nobody was here.
What's your wife's name?
Shanann.
Again, he's like, nothing was here. Vanished. Mm-hmm. Like, I find that so weird. I'm sorry.
S-H-A-N-A-N-N.
What's your kids?
Bella and Celeste.
And spell Celeste.
C-E-L-E-S-T-E. Four, and Bella's four, Celeste is three.
And so, how many times did you try calling her?
I called her three times, texted her about three times, just to say, you know, what's going on. Like, I didn't, because after I called her and texted her once, it was like, maybe she was just busy. Like, she'd just gotten back, you know, like, everybody's probably calling her from her trip. She just got back from Arizona, and I figured, yeah, she was just busy. But when her friend showed up, that's what it was like. It registered, like, all right, this isn't right.
Do you think she just took off? Do you think?
I mean, right now, I don't even want to just, like, throw anything out there. Like, I hope that she's somewhere safe right now and with the kids. But, I mean, could she have been? Could she have just taken off? I don't know. But if somebody has her and they're not safe, like, I want them back now. Like, that's what's in my head. Like, if they're safe right now, they're going to come back. But if they're not safe right now, that's the not knowing part. Like, if they're not safe, last night I had every light in the house on. I was hoping that I would just get ran over by the kids running in the door and just like barrel rushing me, but it didn't happen. And it was just a traumatic night trying to be here.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna ask some kind of tough questions about your relationship with your kids.
My kids are my life. I mean, those smiles light up my life. And this, like, I mean, last night, like, during, like, at, you know, when they usually eat dinner, it was just, like, I miss them. Like, I mean, I miss telling them, hey, you got to eat that or you're not going to get your dessert, you know? And just, like, you're not going to get your snack after. I miss that. Like, I miss them, you know, cuddle up on their couches. They have, like, a Minnie Mouse couch and a Sophia couch that they cuddle up on and watch, you know, Bubble Guppies or something. And it was just, like, you know, it was tearing me apart last night. And I needed that. I needed that last night. And for nobody to be here last night and to go into their rooms and know that I wasn't going to turn the rain machines on, and I know that I wasn't going to turn their monitor on, and know I wasn't going to kiss them to bed tonight, it was that's why last night was just horrible. I couldn't do it. I want everybody to just come home. Like, wherever they're at, come home. That's what I want.
So I feel like you get kind of the point of what he's saying. I mean, all that happens, the rest of that, I mean, there's another, like, what, 3 minutes?
I just feel myself getting more angry. And, like, obviously, like, I mean, I don't think that many people are going to be going into this podcast listening to this and being like, oh, like, maybe she's still alive. Like, we all fucking know she's dead. We all know they're all dead, and we all know that he killed them. And for him to just stand there and just
beg for them to come back.
It's just so annoying, and it makes me so mad.
And the way that he holds himself and rocks his body.
Yeah. He thought he was going to get away with it. He 100% thought he was going to get away with this.
Which is, like, so sickening.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the thing is, like, watching him, like, you can tell what a narcissist he is just by the, like, bless you.
Thank you.
Just by the way he, like, portrays himself. Bless you.
Sorry.
Just by the way he portrays himself, like, on TV. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's just, like, me. It was so hard for me. I can't believe that they weren't here so that I could tuck them into bed. And then Wednesday, August 15th, which is the following day at 4 p.m., police use a drone to investigate an oil site where they believe Shanann, Bella, and Cece would be. They found black garbage bags, and they found a bed sheet that matched the bed sheets found in the trash can at the Watts home. So Wednesday evening after this, because like I said, Wednesday was the 15th at 4:15. Mm-hmm. So that evening, after failing a lie detector test, Chris Watts says he will talk to police after talking to his dad. And he confessed that he killed Shanann after witnessing her strangling her daughters, their daughters, on their camera. Mm. Which, mind you, this camera, all of the footage was deleted from.
Right. How convenient for all of them.
Right. And he told them that he loaded them into his truck and he dumped the two girls in oil tanks and Shanann in a shallow grave. So, this oil field that they were investigating at the time where they found the bed sheet, there was a piece of, I don't want to say grass, but dirt that had clearly been disrupted.
Right.
And there were two oil tanks there. So at 11:30 p.m. this night, Watts was arrested. Chris Watts was arrested on suspicion of 3 first-degree murder charges and 3 tampering with deceased human bodies.
Gross.
On Thursday, August 16th, which was the following day, they found Shanann Watts in a shallow grave, 3 inches deep, lying face down in a kneeling position with her head...
3 inches?
Mm-hmm. 3 inches down. 3 inches deep, lying face down in a kneeling position with her head turned to the left and her feet tucked under her. But her hands were, her elbows were kind of pulled in. So she was wearing a t-shirt, a bra, and underwear. And Bella and Celeste, her two daughters. This is very hard to read, so I'm sorry if this is like very broken up, but it's very hard. Bella and Celeste were found in 2 separate oil tanks. I want to say it was like, it wasn't far from her. It was.
No, he like it made it a feet. Point to be close to them. Like
he did, but he also made it a point to be far enough away because he wanted them so to have
close nowhere. Yet so far.
And the oil tanks had an 8-inch width at the opening, which means that he put them in. At an 8-inch width.
Imagine, like... Would you say it's about that?
Yeah.
That's so fucking small. Like, you have to, like...
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Bella, who was the older one, had oil in her lungs, which doesn't necessarily mean anything. It doesn't mean that she was still alive. It could just mean that her body, like, had disintegrated so much in there that...
It had gotten in.
It had seeped in. She had a lot of skin tearing, from what I understand, which is said to believe that it's because he pushed or forced her into...
A space she shouldn't have been forced
into. Yeah, because it was only 8 inches wide. So, on Monday, August 20th, Chris was finally officially charged with their murders. And on Saturday, August 25th, 5 days later, an obituary was put out for Shanann, her daughters, and it was announced that she was going to have a little boy. I don't think anything had been announced as to her having a boy or girl until this moment. And they were to name her son Nico Lee. Now, also with her son, there was a little bit of, I don't want to say a battle, but a little bit of contention between her and Chris, because they were planning to name the son Nico, but Shanann wanted to spell it N-I-K-O, and Chris wanted to spell it L-N-I-C-O, and that seemed to be, like, an issue.
And people say now that they want to be N-I-K-O because of Nicole.
Well, no, he wanted N-I-C-O, and Nicole was N-I-C-H.
Wasn't she N-I-K?
No, she was N-I-C-H-O-L.
Is it the other Nicole that's N-I-K?
The other Nicole is N-I-C-K-O-L-E.
Too many Nicoles in this bitch.
But regardless of the fact, they battled over the spelling of the name. But I believe that actually Shanann was put to rest as Shanann Ruchik.
She was, yeah.
So I think that's really awesome for her parents that they got that, you know. And but then Wednesday, October 1st, now this is 2018, autopsy reports were released to prosecutors. And Shanann's cause of death was strangulation, and her two daughters was suffocation. Tuesday, November 6th, so about a month later, Chris Watts actually accepted a plea deal to avoid the death penalty, pleading guilty to all three murders and unlawful termination of a pregnancy. About a week and a half later, or no, 2 weeks later, Wednesday, November 14th, the Watts family claims to still believe that Shanann was the one who murdered the girls and Chris Watts could not have anything to do with this.
Okay.
Like, come on.
Fuck off.
At this point, the discovery file is released, and I kind of want to go back to a few things that stuck out to me from this being released, because mm-hmm. I remember both of us following this case like no other. Like, oh, yeah. We read everything there was to read. Mm-hmm. And then the discovery came out.
It took me a good, like, 3 days to read the whole thing.
The discovery, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We spent all of our time reading the discovery. It was a 2,000-page discovery.
I was reading it at work.
It was absurd.
Yeah.
So, the first thing I want to point out is that Nicole Kessinger and Chris Watts claim, they both claim this, that they met in the beginning of June 2018. Mm. And they say it could have been the end of May 2018. I just want to say that on September 1st, 2017, was the first time Nicole Googled Shanann Watts.
8 months. Yeah.
So, 8 months prior to them saying that their relationship started, she was Googling Shanann Watts, which could have no relevance, but I find that a little strange. Nicole also Googled things like Amber Fry. Do people hate Amber Fry? How much money did Amber Fry make in her book deal? And for those of you who don't know, Amber Fry is the mistress of Scott Peterson, mm-hmm. who is in jail right now for murdering his wife, Lacey Peterson, which is a whole nother can of worms. She also Googled, can cops track deleted texts? She Googled, what is the difference between text context and conversation in texts. She also Googled, man I'm having an affair with says he's leaving his wife. Not to say that any of those things necessarily mean anything, but...
No, they fucking do.
A little fucking weird. So I also want to point out that Shanann was buying Chris relationship books. She was buying him books to better the relationship, and those were found in their garbage. There were many texts between Shanann and her friends, Shanann and Chris. The texts between Shanann and Chris, a lot of them were about that whole nut incident.
Yeah, Nutgate.
So, the day Shanann went missing was August 13th. On August 12th, there was a text conversation between Chris and a coworker, stating that he would pretty much check on this oil site in the morning. He would check on... I guess there was something going on at this oil site.
Yeah.
Right? Like...
That's what I gathered.
So his coworker was like, no, it's no big deal. I can actually go out there. And he's like, no need for both of us to go. Blah, 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 blah. And to me, and I could be wrong, but to me, that says that he was planning on bringing the body there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I definitely think this was planned. And he might say still to this day that it just happened, like, out of nowhere. But I think that he was planning this.
Yeah, he was totally planning it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what that text says to me, mm-hmm. is that he was planning it. And on top of this, a few hours prior, he sent this weird-ass picture to Shanann's phone, claiming it was from the girls, of a doll wrapped in like a big piece of paper, almost like a sheet.
Garbage bag.
It was like a big giant. It was just like paper.
Like it looked like a dead body, covered, like they do on crime scenes. Like,
and you can look on Facebook for this because she posted it and she's like, "I don't know what to think about this," and I find that so strange.
It's like that's what happened to you a few hours later.
Yeah, so that was very, very weird. From then on, we have in March 2019 a very long, probably. What, 4 or 5 hour confession?
Oh, yeah.
Comes out from Chris Watts.
Do you listen to the whole thing?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Oh, I did not.
I listened to the whole thing. Time. And I think that the parts that really, really stand out are just kind of... You know, he talks about a lot of his relationship with Nicole Kessinger, and that seems irrelevant to me. As much as she irritates me in this, I don't find that she had anything to do with it. I think that she was just...
I think she drove, not intentionally, but she was the cause of this all happening.
100%, but I don't think that she...
caused it. Like,
had a hand in it. She
didn't be like, hey, you need to kill your
wife. I don't think she killed them. There are people out there that think that, like, she had something to do with the murders.
I think she knew more than she's letting on. Because of her Google searches, because of all the proof and this and that, I think she definitely knew... something was
gonna right happen. Like she wants to sit there and say that she had no idea that he wasn't leaving his wife and stuff like that. I think she knew those things. I think that she knew he was married and had kids and probably wasn't planning on leaving his wife. I think that she knew those things. Mm-hmm. I don't think that she knew he was going to kill his family.
And then why would she search the mistress of what's his face
after the fact?
Yeah,
because it was after the fact.
But yeah.
It was after everything had happened.
I thought that was before, though.
Mm-mm, it was after.
Okay.
It was definitely after.
So the only thing she Googled before was Shanann Watts.
Right, and she Googled Shanann Watts way earlier than she said their relationship had started.
Which is
That's
weird.
What's shady to me. Is that they may have had a relationship prior.
She wasn't into Thrive.
No.
Because that's the only way
I think they had a relationship prior.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think they had a relationship prior. I don't think that she knew he was going to murder his family.
Mm.
I think people like to think that because they think that everybody's fucked up in this world like he is.
Okay. I thought she, like, Googled all of this before.
No, she Googled the Amber Fry thing literally, like, right after his family was, like, missing.
So do you think that he told her before he told the cops?
I could be wrong. Maybe he did. They had about, I think it was a 9-minute conversation the night that Shanann was, like, missing after the cops had found out. And maybe he did tell her that something, but I don't think so.
Hmm.
I really don't.
We'll never know.
No, we'll never know. But the confession was so strange because... So what he says happened is that Shanann came home from her business trip. She was stirring for a bit and crawled into bed and started touching his leg. And they eventually... oh my God, you want to have sex? No, they eventually... they eventually had sex. So he says. And they went to bed. Probably by 2:30, 3 o'clock, if I had to guess. He claimed, prior to all of this, that she asked him to wake her up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So, he wakes her up in the morning, but then as he's talking about this whole... There's an entire audio clip of this, so I highly suggest listening to that. He claims, also in this... He woke her up because he wanted to talk about their relationship. He wanted to talk about ending things.
So at 2 in the morning.
Right, at 4:30 in the morning, he wants to talk about ending things. And and you know what? That's just what somebody who got home from a flight at 2 o'clock in the morning wants to hear at 5 a.m. So he says to her that they're not compatible. He keeps using those words. And I personally think that... the not compatible thing came up one time, and he's utilizing it multiple times to, like, cover for himself. I don't think any conversation happened that morning. I truthfully don't think any conversation happened that morning.
Just a murder.
I truly think that. Mm-hmm. So he claims they had this conversation about separating. It was so emotional. They were crying about this. And this is my whole thing. It's like, you're crying about that, but then you're on video camera begging for your family to come back, not crying. You're killing all of your family, not crying. But you're crying about the fact that you're having a separation from your wife.
Right.
Stop. So he claims they have this emotional conversation. They're both crying. And he's like, I don't want to be with you anymore. I don't love you anymore. We're not compatible. And she says, you're never going to see your kids again. And he straddles her. Which, when have you ever been in a conversation?
How dare you? Let me straddle you really quick.
But, like, when have you ever been in a conversation with your husband or any boyfriend, for that matter?
Yeah.
That they have straddled you to talk to you. Like, isn't that strange?
No.
So he claims that he straddled her because she wasn't listening. And he's talking at her while he's straddling her. And they're having this emotional conversation that he says again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And she says to him, get off. You're gonna hurt me. Or you're gonna hurt the baby. You're gonna kill the baby. Mm-hmm. Get off. And he says that he just grabs her throat and starts choking her. And he has now read that it takes 2 to 4 minutes to choke somebody to death. And he can't comprehend why he couldn't get his hands off. And she didn't fight back. She didn't move. Nothing. He said he thought she was laying there praying. That's what he thought. So this happens, and he claims that while this is happening, Bella walks in, his oldest daughter, and says, what's happening to mommy?
Uh-huh.
What's wrong with mommy? Uh-huh. And he says, mommy doesn't feel good. We have to take her to the hospital. So he wraps her up in a sheet, and he starts dragging her down the stairs, which is so fucked up to me. And he says Bella and Celeste are both out of the rooms looking down the stairs watching this happen. And they're just like, he said they both looked scared. They had their blankets with them. So he loads her up into the car. And this is the other thing he says, that when he was, you know, straddling her in the bed and choking her to death, he said he finally knew that she was dead when she relieved herself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she literally shit herself.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so sad to me. I can't imagine. And this guy looks so normal, and the way that they looked up to him.
Yep.
So he loads her into the car, and then I guess he put Bella and Cece in the car too, with no car seats. He just loaded them up in.
Threw those bitches in.
Threw them the fuck in. And from what he says, he left them. He drove to his oil site, left them in the car, dug a hole, and threw Shanann in and covered her up and went back to the car. And, you know, he was like, oh my God, I have to kill my kids because...
why?
Because nothing.
Okay, it's one thing if you kill your significant other. It's one thing.
But your kids...
Why would you kill your kids? Like, they could be living right now. They could be living with their grandparents.
Or you.
No, he killed his wife already, Keely.
I know, but I'm just saying, in that moment, you could be thinking, like, okay, I could get away and, like, have my kids. In that moment.
In that moment, yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Or, mm-hmm. like, they could be with their grandparents. They could be living a good life. Like,
yeah, and so had to fucking take that away because you're selfish.
And it's so fucked up. And I just think that he thought in his head that he was helping them.
Yeah.
As fucked up as that sounds. Like, I think in his head, he was like, they can't live without their mom.
Yeah.
Or me. Like, he wasn't thinking right. Mm-hmm. And so he claims that he, Cece, Celeste, had a Yankees blanket, I believe, with her. and he put it around her head and strangled her to death. And he went over to Bella after this
part.
It hurts my heart. Like, the whole thing hurts my heart. He went over to Bella and on the other side of the truck, and Bella said to him, "Are you going to do the same thing to me that you did to Cece?" Like, how fucking heartbreaking is that? That, like, you can just keep doing that. I can't imagine. And he claims that he doesn't think he said anything, which, what can you say?
Like, yeah.
And he put the blanket around her, and same thing. And he said that, you know, Bella was a fighter. She really fought back. And that made me cringe hearing him say that. And they said in the autopsy, you know, they found bite marks on her tongue and stuff like that, that she really did fight back. And she was actually the one that they found oil in her lungs. And I don't know what that means. So, yeah, he said that after he killed Cece, he took her into a tank. And then he killed Bella and then took her into a tank. And he claimed there was a reason that he put them in separate tanks. And I don't remember what it was, but there's no good enough reason. It doesn't matter.
He's still a piece of shit.
He's still a scumbag.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I touched on pretty much everything. The only thing I want to say is I bought the book Letters from Christopher by Sherilyn Cadle. And first of all, it's the worst written book I've ever read. There are about 1,000 typos. And it's just a hot mess. And I bought it for one paragraph that I could have Googled and found online. And that's what, like, really makes me irritated. So it says, "This is April 23rd, 2019. Dear Sherilyn," this is from Chris Watts. "Hello again. I hope you're doing well. It has been awesome talking with you on the phone, but I know the 15-minute time frame is a pain. Sometimes I can't get right back on the phone, but right now there are... Sometimes I can get right back on the phone, but right now there are other inmates that like to be on the phone as much as I do, so I respect their time as well. How's your dad doing? I've been praying about him every day. Yes, the petition really blew my mind that people really want to make me suffer like that. Even if they did ever take my pictures, they can't take my memories. An inmate from another institution wrote me about that subject and said, if they take your pictures, they would need to take the pictures from the other 500 to 600 people that have their family pictures up on their cell convicted of the same act." Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Do I feel I should be incarcerated? For the act I committed, I most definitely think so.
Yeah.
Do I imagine myself ever doing anything like this or being a danger to society? I most definitely think not. If I were ever to be released, I would go straight to the ministry and start going to jails/prisons to help inmates. If God led me to be ordained, I would go to the, I would go that route as well. Possibly even be a chaplain.
Okay, girl.
Maybe the laws will change one day. My attorney seems to see I was different. My attorney team could see I was different and knew that this was a one-time occurrence for me. They told me that in Europe, the law is I would serve 20 years or so for homicide. And in California, after 25 years of imprisonment on a life sentence, you can be released if you've had good behavior. So there's hope for everyone to live outside prison walls. I know physically I'm behind these walls, but my spirit is free with Christ.
Okay.
If God keeps putting it on your heart that there is more to the story than what I told the FBI has, you're correct. I don't like saying stuff like that over the phone, because I'm never certain when they screen my calls. I know I already told you the vision I had before August 13th, when I was lying in bed and all the lights were on in the loft and downstairs, and I felt so alone. That's exactly what happened April 14th when I was lying in bed. I don't know if you want this in the book or if God does, but there are things I left out. 1. August 12th, when I was finishing putting the girls to bed, I walked away and said, "That's the last time I'm going to be tucking my babies in." I knew it was going to happen the day before, and I did nothing to stop it. I was numb to the entire world. I had literally taken my kids to a birthday party, played with water balloons, had an amazing time, sang songs all the way home, gave them a bath and shower, ate dinner, read bedtime stories, and sang bedtime songs, and still nothing registered. When Shanann had to be somewhere, I always enjoyed taking the girls places or playing outside because it was our opportunity to bond. And still, the night before, I couldn't stop myself from what I knew would occur the next morning. 2. August 13th, the morning of, I went to the girls' room first, before Shanann and I had our argument. I went to Bella's room, then Cece's room, and used a pillow from their bed to kill them. That's why the cause of death was smothering. Which makes no sense to me.
They weren't dead, though.
No, they weren't dead. After I left Cece's room, then I climbed back in bed with Shanann, and our argument ensued. After Shanann had passed, Bella and Cece woke back up. I'm not sure how they woke back up, but they did. Bella's eyes were bruised, and both girls looked like they had been through trauma. That made the act that much worse, knowing I went to their rooms first, and knowing I still took their lives at the location of the batteries. 3. The reason the medical examiner found oxycodone in Shanann's system is because I gave it to her. I thought it would be easier to be with Nicole if Shanann wasn't pregnant.
Oh my god.
I don't know if this was a spiritual visit, but I had a dream Cece was dancing next to the chair in my cell. When she was dancing, all of my folders on the chair started moving and I thought she was in trouble, so I said, "Watch out, get away, watch out." You cared?
Yeah, right.
Then I woke up. I'm hoping she comes back. I hope everyone comes to visit me.
No one will.
I'm trying to see if I can clear my head better before I go to sleep. And then he talks about, like, a Bible verse, which I don't care. I don't care. I just...
don't care.
I find him such a narcissist.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's disgusting.
The whole story just, I just can't wrap my head around it.
I'll never be able to wrap my head around it.
Just be like, well, I found Jesus now, so I'm good. Like, no.
Because he's a narcissist. He thinks that he's, like, better than.
Yeah.
It just hurts my heart so bad. And I have nothing really left to say about this. I feel like I've said everything I can about this case. I mean, the crazy thing about this is there's so much information available that I can't even... like, I've spoke so much on.
Yeah.
But I can't even speak all on.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I feel like from this point on, it's just about, like, your opinion.
It is. And, like, the thing is, he's going to keep coming out with stories. And they're still going to be half bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, when I read the book and everything like that, when I read... first of all, I don't encourage anybody to buy that book. I literally don't encourage anybody to buy that book. The first reason is because everything is a typo. It's a disastrously written book. But second off, from what I'm understanding, the proceeds of that are going to him to get an appeal. I didn't know that before I bought it.
You're like, shit.
So don't buy that goddamn book. And in that, he says that whole line about, oh, I went to the girls' room first. That's why the cause of death was suffocation. Like, no, the cause of death was suffocation because you suffocated them with a blanket.
Right. They didn't just magically die.
And also, why even bother having this argument with Shanann if your daughters are already dead?
Right. You might as well just kill her, too.
He killed her. There was no argument. I don't care what anybody has to say. I don't care what he has to say. There was no argument. He killed her while she was sleeping.
Yeah. Because she didn't fight.
She didn't fight. Because there was mascara found on her pillowcase or whatever. Because her head was face down.
Mm-hmm.
There was no fighting. And I hate to sit here and put my opinion into this, but...
Yeah.
She got killed while she was sleeping. And I don't care what he says. Mm-hmm. Because he's a compulsive liar. Mm-hmm. And a trash bag. So... I don't know. I can't think of anything else I have to say about this. Mm-mm. I feel like I've, like, put all the facts out there and tried my best. And honestly, if you out there happen to think that Chris Watts has any sort of innocence or has told any truth in this, please let us know.
Oh.
Please. Like, honestly, let me know. Let me know. Because I have read every discovery file, I have watched every video, I have done all my research. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just heartbreaking and it's tragic, and there's no good ending to this. You know, there's no happy ending.
Four innocent people are still dead
for sure.
Yeah,
and it's heartbreaking.
And so, people in our group can be like, well, Shanann treated him like this, that, and the other thing. Like, no,
I hate that group.
Marriage is perfect.
Right? Like, I don't care what you have to say bad about her.
You do not treat Dave perfectly all the time. I do not treat Dennis perfectly all the time. But does that mean that they have the right to murder
us? Murder us? No. And he had no right to murder her.
No.
And I don't care what anybody says. She did not murder those goddamn girls. And then he murdered them because of that. Like, yeah, we bullshit. Still have people in our group saying that.
I know. It's fucking ridiculous.
So, anyway, I think we're going to wrap up this case. It's been long enough. This may be a two-parter. And, stay safe. Be aware of warning signs.
Don't get murdered.
Try your best not to get murdered. And we'll be back next week with another episode. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much for listening. And...